Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time, and it is Combine Week 2017. This will be the best Combine preview out there. And also, we're getting in the offensive line. This might be the best college draft podcast ever, with me giving you my thoughts on the top five offensive tackles available in the NFL draft this year. Everybody needs offensive tackles. We know that. We'll also get Fran's thoughts as well, and we will break down the combine. When I mention Fran, of course, I'm talking about Fran Duffy from the Philadelphia Eagles. Check him out on Twitter, at FDuffy3. If you're new here, welcome aboard. I'm Ross Tucker, played offensive line in the NFL for a bunch of teams over 7 years, and you can follow me on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL. Today's podcast is actually presented by the sponsor page over at rostucker.com. We don't take a sponsor unless we believe in it and we think it's legit. You'd be surprised at the number of sponsors that we turn down. So if we have it, like a Casper mattress or Dollar Shave Club or whatever, it's because it's legit. Brian sleeps on a Casper mattress. I just shaved with a Dollar Shave Club razor. We use it. That is what we do. And what else we do is we preview the combine. Let's do it, Fran. Let's start with, who are the guys that you envision just kind of blowing up the combine?
Well, I think if you look at it from a position-by-position standpoint, obviously we're not really worried about quarterbacks and how they test athletically, but when you get to the running backs on Saturday, you know, Dalvin Cook, I think a lot of people expect to run really well. Yeah, and he's a guy, honestly, I think he needs to run well because he's going to have some things to prove from a medical standpoint. You know, everyone's going to be worried about that shoulder throughout the medical check. There are questions about his past off the field that he's going to need to answer. So with those things kind of in a gray area, I think he needs to test well. Even though his film is really good, I think you still need Dalvin Cook. You'd like to see him come out and test pretty well, not just in the 40-yard dash, but when you're talking about the three cone and the shuttles, you want to see how he tests. And I think Dalvin Cook should come through in that respect. Christian McCaffrey, I think, was a guy, another guy who's going to test really well. And then I mentioned Marlon Mack and TJ Logan last week when we talked about the running back position. I think Mack and Logan are guys that are going to run really well in the 40 in this event here on Saturday. Next, you go to the receiver position. John Ross is going to test, even though he's got that shoulder injury. I think he's going to run pretty well. Carlos Henderson from Louisiana Tech could be in that 4.2, 4.3 range. And then Taywan Taylor is a guy that I'll be interested to see how he runs in the 40, but I think at some of these other tests, you know, the shuttles, I think the jumps, he's going to be really, really impressive. And we're going to see overall how Taywan Taylor looks from an overall athletic ability standpoint. I think that he's going to test pretty well overall. Tight ends, there's a few guys. David Njoku, I think, is going to be lights out, one of the best overall performers in this event. 6'4", 245 pounds. Typically, when you see these guys that test well, they've got a track background. You know, they've got that that base of knowledge for, you know, the starts and how to go through all of these drills from a technique standpoint. Njoku was an excellent track athlete, not just in high school, but then also from Miami. Jumped just under 2.1 meters last summer. It was a high school national high jump champion. So I expect him to be a guy that not only will run well, because he's athletically is kind of a freak, but also in the jumps, in the broad jump and the vertical jump, I expect David Njoku to look really, really impressive. Evan Ingram from Ole Miss, we've talked about ad nauseum over the course of the last, you know, 10 months, 11 months. I expect him to test really well. And Bucky Hodges from Virginia Tech was at 6'6", 245 pounds, was a receiver in the Virginia Tech offense. There are some people that think he could crack 4.5. You know, I think Bruce Feldman last year had him at 4.46. So Bucky Hodges is a 245-pound tight end. If he cracked 4.5, would be really, really impressive. Up front on the offensive line, two guys that we're going to talk about later today, so I won't dig too deep into their game. Garrett Bowles and Antonio Garcia, I think, are going to test really, really well along the offensive line. Defensively, Malik McDowell, Miles Garrett, and Tack McKinley, I think, are going to be the three most impressive athletic testers in this event. Myles Garrett, we know, is just of a freak of nature from the defensive end, edge rush position. You know, a guy that his reported numbers, you know, I've seen numbers 3.9 in the short shuttle would be the best of any edge rusher drafted in the last 5 years. Reported 4.46 40-yard dash time would be outstanding. 130-inch broad jump, 38.5 vertical jump. Those numbers are ridiculous, out of this world for an edge rusher, and would be really, really impressive overall. So if Myles Garrett can come close to those numbers, I think you're talking about one of the best overall testers. You know, I mentioned Tack McKinley. His athleticism shows up on tape. And Malik McDowell is one of the most physically gifted interior rushers in this class. The problem on tape was he just didn't always play to that. He didn't always show that effort down in and down out. So Malik McDowell will be impressive from that standpoint. Jabril Peppers is going to be running with the linebackers. I expect him to look really, really good running compared to those linebackers. He should test at or near the top of that position group. Remember, this guy was an outstanding sprinter in high school, was the number one cornerback recruit coming out of high school, coming out of East Orange, New Jersey. So Jabril Peppers, I think, is going to test really, really well. Jayon Brown from UCLA, another linebacker I expect to look really, really good in athletic drills. And then lastly, at the cornerback spot, Marlon Humphrey, I think, is going to be a really, really impressive tester, a guy that was also a sprinter earlier in his career, outstanding speed in the open field. He's got that ability to run with receivers. His mom was a great track athlete at UAB. He's got that in his blood. I think Marlon Humphrey is a guy that's going to test really well, alongside of Dory Jackson, who was just on the brink of being an Olympic-style athlete, ran USC track, did long jumps. I mean, he's won the Pac-12 two times in the long jump throughout his career. Great athlete. I expect Adoree Jackson to be one of the more impressive physical testers this week as well.
How bad is it, Fran, if you're expected to be a workout warrior, if you're expected to be a guy that tests really well and doesn't? Because it seems to me like it's almost better if you have low expectations, because when it's the guys that have high expectations, like a Marquise Lee, and then they don't meet them, that's the thing that really gets people more concerned than anything else.
Yeah, and that's going to happen. There's going to be guys that we expect to test really well and don't, and then you have to try and figure out why. The other thing that I think that people need to remember too is that when you talk about the difference between a 4.49 and a 4.61, you're talking about like a fraction, you know, a 1.1 second. I mean, that's, or not even, it's 0.12 seconds. It's so small. So the slightest misstep on one of two 40-yard dash runs, I mean, if you do that once or twice, you're going to affect your times. And that's why sometimes you see these huge gaps between what a guy does at his pro day and the combine, because if you fix that one little tiny thing in your technique, that can throw you off. And you know, a lot of times you see guys that maybe if they work out in the West Coast and they come back to Indianapolis and now they're used to working out at this time, there's always guys that last year there were like a dozen, 20 guys that were sick throughout the event, and that threw off a lot of times. So it is interesting when you see those guys that are expected to test well and don't. Find out why. If it was there some other extenuating circumstance that led to it, and then if not, then you go back to the tape and see, oh, is this a guy that, you know, is he as athletic as we thought? And that's the question you need to answer.
All right. What about the other side? What about the guys that you feel like have a lot to prove?
Yeah, I think that there's always those guys too, right, that you need to see test well. You know, you're not sure athletically if they have what it takes to be maybe a number one guy at their position in the NFL. You think of a Deontay Foreman from Texas, an Elijah Hood at the running back position, both those guys. I think you have to question whether or not they're athletic enough to be feature ball carriers in the NFL. You know, I think that also when you talk about players with most to prove, it may not be on the field. It might not be on the track. It might be away from the field. You know, you talk about a guy like D.D. Westbrook, who has all the athletic traits, and I expect him to test well. But when you talk about his off-the-field transgressions, there was the report that came out, I think it was in Tulsa, in Oklahoma, about some of the issues that he's had off the field with two arrests. He's going to have to answer those questions. And then also, he suffered an injury in high school that doctors told him he should never play again, and that he could, you know, really hurt himself and potentially, mortally hurt himself if he were to continue playing. So the medical checks can be big for D.D. Westbrook as well. You could say the same thing about Pharaoh Brown. Pharaoh Brown had a knee injury. This is the tight end from Oregon, who I think is one of the five or six most talented tight ends in this class. No one really talks about Pharaoh Brown. You know, in 2014, he tore two ligaments in his knee. They thought they were going to have to amputate his leg. I mean, it was a really, really severe knee injury. It took him a year and a half to come back. He came back this year, and the production was solid, not quite to the level that people thought he would a couple of years ago. But Pharaoh Brown also has that history of stuff off the field. There were some reports coming out of Eugene about just a string of violence off the field that he's going to have to answer for. So Pharaoh Brown fits into that mold as well. But when you get back to just athletic testing, Raekwon McMillan from Ohio State, the linebacker, I want to see him test really well, at least better than I think that he will. Quincy Wilson and Sidney Jones, two of the big-name cornerbacks in this class that I can't put on the same pedestal as some other guys because I just want to see how well they run. I don't think Desmond King is going to run well, the kid from Iowa. I don't think he's going to run well, so I'm not expecting him to. I want to see Quincy Wilson and Sidney Jones run well because – on tape at times, I wondered if they had the speed to keep up with receivers downfield. I wondered if they had the quickness and change of direction, you know, that lateral fluidity in their hips to be able to keep up and hip pocket with receivers at the deeper parts of the field. I want to see Quincy Wilson and Sidney Jones and see what those numbers look like once we get through the end of testing on Tuesday.
Well, you know what I want to see? I don't want to see anything. I want to talk about the offensive linemen. Let's do it. Guess who Best Available Interview is today? It's me.
Best Available Interview.
Yes, that's right. I love this time of year. Every year, I break down the tape of the top offensive tackles that Fran tells me to watch and get a chance to tell you guys what I think. So, Fran, I am ready when you are, my friend. I played 7 years along the offensive line in the NFL, so I have, a decent background to be able to break these guys down. So go for it, Fran.
All right. So this class overall is not considered to be a great tackle class. You know, we're not talking about any of these guys in the top 10, top 15. But one name that people thought would be a top 15 pick and one name that we talked about on this show back in the spring is a guy that was really, really up and down as a sophomore in 2015. I just got a chance to rewatch him. Tell me what you think about Cam Robinson from Alabama.
So, and I'll always tell you what tape I watched. So, you know, I watched him against Tennessee. And I'm not a huge fan. To me, he looked heavy footed. He's just not that athletic. I mean, when I watch him move, his slide, his redirect, he just doesn't move that well. It's not that natural for him. Now, what he does have is he has great size. And so sometimes guys that maybe aren't fleet of foot can get away with it because they have great size. But I don't look at him as a left tackle. I mean, to me, and I know that the lines have blurred between left tackle and right tackle, but I don't know, man. Ideally, he's either a bigger right tackle type or even you move him inside. He just heavy-footed. Too often, Fran, when I was watching him, he was looking for work too much. Like he wasn't blocking anybody. You know? I mean, no matter how the play unfolded, he was not blocking somebody. You know, whether it was he wasn't supposed to or whatever, I just don't like – that's a bad sign to me. A guy that's looking for work too often and maybe not looking for that work as zealously as I'd like to see him be doing it. He's not a natural finisher. Like even there's a couple plays where towards the end of the play, he'd give a guy a shove or he'd keep driving him, but you can tell it's like he doesn't really want to do it. It's not natural. It's almost like he's been told you need to do that, but he's not a guy that looks like he really enjoys, you know, knocking people on their butt, knocking them back, knocking them down. It just doesn't seem like that comes naturally for him. I would say his awareness was average. I wouldn't say it's below average, but awareness in terms of stunts, blitzes, seeing things before they happen. Decent pop in the running game. Actually, I take that back. He had below average awareness. I was looking at the wrong guy. Below average awareness for Cam Robinson. I think the best thing he's got going for him, Fran, was great size, decent pop in the run game on double teams. But in the end, not athletic enough and below average awareness. I was looking at the wrong guy, which is it's a bad combination if you're heavy-footed and you have below average awareness. I'm not a big fan.
Do you worry about, because a lot of people think, it's interesting that you don't think that he could be a left tackle, because we saw last week or two, I guess it would have been now, it was 2-3 weeks ago, Mike Mayock put out his top five positional rankings, and he had Cam Robinson listed as an interior offensive lineman, presumably as a guard. With his below average awareness, are you worried about him sliding inside, especially since he's never done it before?
Yeah, that's a concern. Because, as you know, Fran, when you're inside at center or guard, things happen faster, and you're much more often tied into the blitz packages and have to pass things off. You know, a lot of times tackles end up blocking the end man, but when you're inside, things happen crazy fast. So, yeah, that is a concern. And really, the fact that he's slow-footed, even if he's inside, that contributes to it as well, because you have to pass things off pretty quickly. You know, you don't need to be a beautiful athlete, but you need to have some initial quickness or some above average awareness so that you can get there, you know, even if your feet aren't great. So I'm not a huge fan. Maybe I need to watch more tape, but watching the Tennessee tape was not great for him.
It's interesting because I was not a big fan of his sophomore year, and I watched a little bit more from this past season, and I thought he competed really well. I watched LSU and Texas A&M because I wanted to see him against Myles Garrett. I wanted to see him against Arden Key from LSU, who I think is one of the most talented pass rushers in the country, and I thought he played pretty well. I mean, I think he's got enough athleticism. I think his feet are good enough that he could still stick at left tackle, so I guess that's where we disagree with him. I do agree with a lot of the points you made, and the other thing too, man, the two big things that have always stood out to me about Cam Robinson, one, he's on the ground way too much. That goes back to his sophomore year. That was one of the big things I wrote down from him. And then also penalties. I mean, I've got him down for 23 penalties the last 2 years. That's a lot of flags. So, you know, Cam Robinson, just overall consistency with technique was one of my big things. Garrett Bowles from Utah. I want to hear what you think of him. A one-year starter, JUCO transfer. What are your thoughts on Bowles from Utah?
Really, really liked him. Probably my favorite out of the five guys you had me watch.
Wow.
He has great feet and athleticism as a puller. I mean, they ran sort of the old counter tray where you pull the backside guard, backside tackle, and he has really nifty feet. I mean, he runs well, but then he always was able to find that backside linebacker no matter where that guy was. He fit in to the blocking front a bunch of different places. So that stood out to me. You could tell based on his blocking that he understands body positioning and the concept of the play, right? It's not just block this guy. It's, okay, we're going to fake to the right, then we're rolling out left. So get on the defender's right hip, you know, get on that portion of him because the ball's coming back out that way. So that I liked. That he understands body positioning and the concept of the play. That's a huge, huge part of it. It sounds simple, but knowing what the play concept is and getting your body between the defender and where the play is going, which was big. He's a finisher. He's a natural finisher. He wants to do it. He's trying every play to finish guys and staying on them throughout it. He was excellent at the second level on linebackers, whether it was when he pulled and fit up on a linebacker there or when he was able to go up to the second level, you know, up on a linebacker in the run game. I really, really liked him as a finisher and at the second level. And then in pass pro, he had a nice short set. And he changed up his set. So it wasn't always a short set, but he short set the guys a couple times. Then other times he took, you know, more of a 45-degree angle. He probably, if there's a concern, He might be a little bit light in the fanny, as they say, a little bit light in the butt, and maybe got knocked back a little bit. But I thought he was better in that area than some of these other guys. I watched him against UCLA and really, really liked him. I mean, he was pretty clearly my favorite, I'd say, of the five guys you had me watch.
I knew that you watched the UCLA game because when you mentioned his ability on the counter, Trey, there was a play, the Joe Williams 55-yard touchdown against UCLA. He came to the front side, to the play side as a puller, and blew up that backside linebacker like unbelievably well. You know, just him running through the hole like a lead fullback and then just still locating that moving target on the run and then burying him into the ground to free up Williams was really, really impressive. Bowles is a really intriguing player. The other one-year starter in this class that people are intrigued by.
Wait. What didn't you like? What do you think of Bowles?
Well, I like Bowles. I mean, look, his feet, his athletic ability, I think are probably the best in this class. I think they're right up there with Antonio Garcia. Garcia, I think it might even be just a little bit more athletic, but Bowles, man, I mean, you mentioned the natural feel for the game. I definitely saw that. I do think he needs to get a little bit stronger, and I think he will benefit from an NFL weight program. Remember, this guy only spent 1 year with Utah, arrived as a junior college transfer, was a five-star recruit out of Snow College last year, this time last year. His story is remarkable, and I this was the first time this past week that I had gotten a chance to do some reading up on him. And a lot of people said, oh, he's got off-the-field issues. His past, I mean, he got kicked out of his house when he was in high school and then, you know, kind of he got picked up by a family and they kind of got him back to on the right path and he became religious and, you know, went on his mission and then came back and got married. And like his story is really, really inspirational. So, I mean, we'll see how teams feel about him once they meet him at the combine and everything this week. But Bowles is a really, really interesting story that, you know, you kind of root for. Hearing it, you kind of root for him. So I was really, really intrigued by Garrett Bowles. The other one-year starter, Ryan Ramczyk from Wisconsin, you know, another guy who started his career at another school, was playing D3 football, transferred up to Wisconsin as a walk-on. Really cool story, his cool journey there to Wisconsin. Tell us about Ramczyk and what you saw from him on tape.
Yeah, I watched him. I watched parts of two games because I got interrupted. So I watched I think the first half of the Michigan game and the first half of the Ohio State game. And what I like about him is he's got nice feet, good balance, good awareness, shows some nice strain in the running game. And what I mean by that is that when it's just a one-on-one block and you're kind of pushing through the stalemate, he was able to strain and keep pushing through. I actually thought that he did a better job. I was more impressed with him as a run blocker one-on-one than I was in double teams. You know, when there was a double team, he didn't really get the movement or show the pop that I wanted to see. But when he was one-on-one, he was able to get some strain on guys. Even if you have to understand, like when you're locked up one-on-one like that, even if you just drive the guy off the ball a couple of inches, even if you sustain and push him back a little bit, that is significant. That is hard to do. So I like that. He was late off the ball at times. I think especially in the Michigan game on the road, I don't like that because that is you're dead in the NFL if you're late off the ball. I mean, you're dead. They're too good. They're too quick, the first step. So that's something I didn't notice it as much in the Ohio State game at home, but he was late off the ball against Michigan. He really fits in his hands well in the run game, you know, meaning shooting both hands inside, trying to attack the breastplate of the defender. He's well coached, only having been there, I guess, a year or whatever. He's a good, not great athlete when he's pulling. So he's not quite like Bowles when he's pulling. Questions I had on him, and these aren't necessarily negatives, it's just questions, were his anchor, because there were some times where he was getting knocked back. Now, he was going against Bosa, who even as a freshman has some pop, looks like his brother, going against Taco Charlton, but he was getting knocked back a little bit, and I didn't really see any flashes of nasty from him. That I like to see that. I just, you don't need it, but it makes me feel better about a guy when I see that.
Yeah, we see him pretty similarly, man. I watched two different games. I watched LSU and Michigan State, and I'm going to do more work after the combine after we get back to Philly. I think his feet are good. I think his athletic ability is good. What stood out to me was how polished he was. I mean, you mentioned his hand use, both in the run and pass game. I thought that he used his hands pretty well for a guy that has only started 1 year. He's only been with the program for two. He's pretty impressive from that standpoint. Got to worry about the shoulder, and that's a question that's going to have to get answered this week. You know, he played through a torn labrum at the end of the year. He's scheduled for surgery, and he already had surgery. So we'll see. I guess what team's fine with the medical check on that shoulder, but man, I mean, he is pretty impressive. I think that he's probably more of like that ideal early second round type of guy than like a mid first round kind of guy. But I agree. I think he needs to get a little bit bigger and stronger. There were times where his anchor was a little bit questionable, and I'd like to see him just really move people at the point of attack a little bit easier than he did. But overall, I think Ramchek's a good prospect. Tell me about Antonio Garcia, a guy that I was late to in terms of preparing for the Senior Bowl. I think I watched him like the week before the Senior Bowl, so I didn't get a chance to love him up as much as I would have liked, I guess, during the season. But 6'6", he came in at 293 in Mobile. Tell us what you think about Garcia.
Yeah, I liked Garcia a lot. I would say Bowles clearly number one, and then Ramczyk and Garcia would probably be neck and neck. Garcia is a very smooth athlete in pass pro and on the second level. He showed solid awareness and finish. And what I like about him is he knows how to run his feet upon contact, right? So he didn't – one of the questions, and maybe they just didn't have enough plays, Fran, where I could see it. My question about him was pop in the run game. But the reality is there really aren't that many guys in the NFL that are getting that much pop in the run game anyway. I mean, you're just not knocking that many guys back. Now, would I like to see more? Sure. But he knows how to run his feet upon contact. So even if you're not getting pop in the run game, if you once you engage, you run your feet, then when that guy tries to disengage, you can run your feet and still prevent him from making the play and then get some movement there, even if you don't get it initially. I mentioned the solid awareness and finish. I watched him against Clemson, so I watched him against some real deal dudes, and he looked very comfortable, very natural. He's a nice player.
Yeah, tell me if you disagree. There are shades of Tyron Smith there when you watch, just because of his frame and his feet and the way, like his ease of movement. He's really physically impressive. What was interesting to me, he was listed 275 by scouts going into the fall, which is obviously extremely light. You can't play 275 as a tackle in the NFL. Then he came in at 293 at the Senior Bowl. So I'm very intrigued to see from late January to now, has he continued to add weight? Because 293 is still really light. You'd want him to put on a little bit more weight going into his rookie season, but started 42 games for the Trojans, never really missed that much time. I mean, he's a really, really intriguing player. Physically, I really like Antonio Garcia. Tell me, I'm not going to give you my thoughts on this guy because I think, number one, people, if you've been listening to this podcast, know how I feel, and I'm going to talk about it in the next segment. Tell me what you think about Taylor Moten from Western Michigan.
So the positives are he flashes some nasty. You know, you can tell he's got a little bit of an ornery personality when he's out there playing, which I really like. He also showed decent pop in the running game. You know, he's firing off. And I thought his awareness was fine. I mean, I thought he had some average awareness, had a decent idea of what was coming, what he was seeing. I watched him against Wisconsin in the bowl game. What I did not like is I feel like he is a below average athlete for the position, for the tackle position. He looks to me like he might be better suited inside at guard. Although, you know what, there's a lot of tackles, right tackles, that get away with not being great athletes. But after watching Garcia and Bowles and some of these other guys, it's just noticeable that Moten just doesn't move as well. And the issue I had with him, Fran, was I felt like, you know, too often he was leaning, lunging, and grabbing. Not a big fan.
Yeah, that's a little disappointed, but I guess we will get to talk about him a little bit more in our next segment, Daddy Soda Time.
Daddy Sodas.
All right, Fran, who was your favorite guy to watch on film?
Well, that guy, I'm going to say, is Moten. So here's why, because to me, when I watch Taylor Moten, I see a guy that does not have as high an upside. And we talked about these guys, Garrett Bowles and Ramczyk and Garcia. I don't see Taylor Moten as a future left tackle. I don't see him as a guy that's going to be, you know, a 10-year pro bowler. I think that Moten, and I'm still kind of waffling on whether or not I think he's a right tackle or guard. After seeing him in person at the Senior Bowl, I do think he can last at right tackle. What stood out to me most about Moten was you mentioned the nastiness, the competitive nature. I like that from him. But I thought that he did a really good job of using his length. And when he got his hands on you, he was so hard to shed, both in pass pro and in the run game. And I thought that once he made that initial contact, his feet didn't stop. You know, like he kept running his feet, whether it was in the run game or even in pass protection. It was like he'd get his hands on you and he would allow his feet to kind of catch up to the rest of his body, you know, because he would get caught leaning a little bit, like you mentioned. But I thought that he did a good job of knowing, you know, all right, I'm going to get my hands on him, and now my feet are going to catch up, and my hands are in the right spot, and now I can kind of body him up. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of liked watching Moten. I thought he had a good understanding of what his physical limitations were, and I thought he was one of the best linemen down at the Senior Bowl. And watching him, he's one of my favorite guys to watch just because of that nastiness, that mean streak that he does have in the run game. I watched him compete with DeJuan Smoot in Illinois, and I thought that he competed really, really well in that game. And he just beat up the guys in Northwestern. I mean, he was throwing guys left and right in that game as well in week one.
Give me a guy that's underrated by the media.
Yeah, that's Will Holden from Vanderbilt. You know, he was at the East-West Shrine Game, and he was a midweek addition to the Senior Bowl. 6'7", 312 pounds, probably a little bit shorter arms than you would want from a guy that, you know, that tall. But I think Will Holden's got it, man. I mean, the guy's got really strong hands. He's got quick eyes. Reminds me in some ways of an Andrew Whitworth, in that athletically he's not ideal. You might say, oh, you know, he probably should be a guard. But I think Will Holden's a guy that can stick at tackle. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he got drafted a little bit later and then ended up being a starter or even if he was just a quality backup. I think Holden's a really impressive player.
Who do you like but scares you? I like this category.
I think that, to me, in this category, that would be Pat Elflein. You know, a guy we haven't really talked about interior linemen. I think Elflein's a little bit small, and that's the one issue you've got. You know, he's listed 6'2", 299 pounds. I think he's got that nasty streak. He's got the ability to move a little bit. He's got a little bit of athletic ability to him. But I'm just worried about his size overall. Still one of my favorite interior line prospects, but that's what worries me about Elflein.
Who's the safest player among the offensive linemen in your mind?
To me, especially of the guys that we've talked about, I would say that Moten's there. But to me, the other guy's Forrest Lamp. You know, 6'4", 305 pounds, a little bit undersized. But I love his balance. I love his toughness. I love his hands. I love everything about his game. I think he needs to get a little bit stronger. His length is not ideal. He's got 31-inch arms. That is not ideal, even for a guard. So that's a little bit worrisome. But when you watch him against Alabama, the best defensive front in the country, and the guy competed his rear end off. I really like Forrest Lamp. I think he's got a future as a guard, and some people think as a center potentially as well.
Give me a guy that you think is scheme-specific.
Yeah, I'd say Garcia. You know, I think Garcia – look, everybody wants that a stud left tackle, right? So, I mean, when it comes down to it, I don't think it matters what kind of offense you run. But I think that if Garcia is going to be playing around 300 pounds, which is light for an NFL offensive lineman, he's probably going to be best cast in one of those zone schemes that ask those tackles to get out in the perimeter and reach those defenders out on the edge. I think Garcia probably is best cast in that kind of a scheme.
Give me a day three gem that you like.
Two guards. I really like Isaac Asiata from Utah, who I think is just an ass kicker in front, up front. You know, strong, nasty, loves the physical aspect of the game. I really like Asiata. And then Danny Isadora from Miami, who a lot of people are a little bit low on. I like him. He's 6'3 and a half, 311 pounds, knows how to use his hands. He's got really clean feet. He's tough. He's smart. He's a four-year starter at right guard. I think he's a guy that could step in potentially right away and play as a guard right now in the NFL.
3-for-1, Fran.
I'm going to go Ethan Postich, you know, at number one from LSU, 6'6", 301 pounds. He's my number one center. I think his athletic ability, his nasty streak, you know, the fact that he's been a starter for such a long time for LSU, I think he's got the ability to be a really solid NFL starter because of those traits. I think he brings a lot to the table. Dan Feeney, who I think got a lot of pub at the Senior Bowl, was one of the best offensive linemen there at that game. You know, Feeney has started 46 games for the Hoosiers throughout his career. He's smart. He's tough. He's not as powerful. He's not as athletic as some of these other guys, but I think he knows how to use his hands. He's a smart kid up front, and he's tough. I think Dan Feeney has starting traits as a guard. And then lastly, Deion Dawkins. You know I had to fit my Temple guy in. Dawkins won the Practice Player of the Week award in the offensive line group at the Senior Bowl. 6'4", 317 pounds. He's kind of has that tackle guard build. You know, what can he play? I think a lot of people view him as a guard. I think he can play a tackle in a pinch. He's got light feet. He's a natural bender. My question will be, if he does move into guard, will he be able to handle the speed of the game inside? That's going to be my question with Dawkins. But overall, I think he's a good prospect.
Overall, I think we're done. I think we killed it on the combine preview as well as the offensive linemen in the 2017 NFL draft. I might have to go back and watch Forrest Lamp. I've heard enough about that guy that I need to watch him with my own eyes. Make sure you're following Fran on Twitter at FDuffy3. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. Can't wait to get the breakdown from Fran at the combine next week. I think we're done here. The keg is kicked. We're all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chug.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
So I've been telling you guys on all my podcasts now for a long time about richuncles.com. The bottom line is, everyone needs to diversify in life. If you have the opportunity, you should take a look at richuncles.com. It's a REIT or a real estate investment trust. They own commercial property, collect rent from the best creditworthy tenants, and then pay you a monthly cash dividend, which is currently 7% annualized. If you want to see what the Wall Street Journal had to say about them, just go ahead and Google it. Look, like any investment, it has risks. It's not guaranteed, which is why you should find out more at richuncles.com and look up Rich Uncles REIT, a Reg A Tier 2 offering. Go to richuncles.com. That's richuncles.com or call 855-RICH-UNCLES and please let them know that you heard about them on one of the Ross Tucker podcasts.
Rich Uncles REIT is seeking indications of interest concerning its Reg A Tier 2 securities offering. Any indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. No money or other consideration is being solicited, and if sent, response will not be accepted. No sales will be made or commitments to purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $2,000 by Rich Uncles for this single message.